In her private writings, published after her death, Mother Teresa talks about the first time she traveled to Bourke, which is a city in Australia outside of Sydney, that she, along with the Missionaries of Charity, were going to set up a mission for the Aborigines. They went to provide health care, education, and support. And while she was there, she met a man who lived in a one-room house and spent time with him. And while she was there, she looked around and offered to make his bed and do the laundry and clean up a few things. And he kept saying, "No, no, I'm all right, but thank you anyway." But Mother Teresa said, "I know you are all right, but if you let me help, you'll be more all right." And finally, he relinquished. And she did several tasks around the house. And before she left, he went to retrieve a picture that he kept carefully put inside this envelope. And by the way he handled that envelope and took the picture out of it, she could tell it was a prized possession. It was a picture of his father. And she held up that picture and then looked at him and said, "You just look exactly like your father." And his face lit up. He was overjoyed. And since we were not in that small room on that day, we only know about Mother Teresa from her global reputation, that she is honored and venerated in all corners of the earth, well known for her extensive ministry and service to others, and her work continues today through the Missionaries of Charity. But here is where we must be careful. Because the picture of Mother Teresa's life should never get any bigger than that one day in that small room where she offered simple help to somebody else, because her work was made up of small exchanges with others. It's the story of compassion and kindness and just a picture of somebody's father. And we find something similar in the letter to the Colossians, as the letter describes Jesus as the Christ. It is the most expansive, most transcendent picture of Jesus that we have. It is nothing less than a 30,000-foot view. As it says in the first chapter, he is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For in him all things in heaven and on earth were created, things visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or powers, all things have been created through him and for him, that he himself is before all things, and in him all things are held together, that he's the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, so that he might come to have first place of everything. For in him, all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and through him, God was pleased to reconcile to himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, by making peace through the blood of his cross. It is the most expansive, most transcendent picture of Jesus that we have, as it says in the passage we read. For in him, the whole fullness of deity dwells bodily. And what is so telling is that even from a 30,000 foot view, we cannot escape seeing Jesus' feet firmly planted on the ground. That it was the fullness of God in the body of Jesus. That even from that high altitude, Colossians keeps talking about his baptism, where he came up dripping wet, just like the rest of us. And his suffering, where he felt pain. And his death. That no matter how lofty we describe Jesus, his life and ministry, we're down to earth. That it is the fullness of God fleshed out in the life of Jesus. So even when we talk about the transcendent love of God, love is still down to earth. It's building someone up after a hard day. It is celebrating what is good in the life of a child. It's sweeping the floor in the fellowship hall. It's showing basic kindness to a stranger. It's volunteering at the community market. It's dropping off a casserole after someone has surgery. It's forgiving a mistake. That as it is fleshed out, we see the fullness of God's love. It's like the Lord's Prayer, where the disciples went to Jesus and said, "How are we supposed to do this?" And Jesus gave them phrases like, "Give us our daily bread. Forgive us our sins. Help us forgive those who sin against us." It's why we say, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." That love is practical. It's not theoretical, experimental, or hypothetical. Love is practical. It's why Jesus tells that story about your neighbor coming over late at night. For some reason, they lock themselves out and they're hungry. And they knock on your door unexpectedly, and you're lying there in bed thinking, "If I'm just quiet, maybe they will think I'm not here." But as you toss and turn, finally, the sound of your neighbor's voice gets you out of bed, and you offer assistance. That if a child asks for a fish, what parent would give him a snake? And if a child asked for an egg, what parent would give her a scorpion? That love is practical. When I was 16, I remember my parents giving me the car my mom had been driving, 1986 Grand Jeep Wagoneer with wood paneling on the side. But then they walked me around to the back of the car and opened the back gate, and they said, "You see that? Those are your jumper cables. You should never go anywhere without them." I had no idea they would be that important. But like jumper cables, love is practical. And we never know how much we will need it until we need it. But jumper cables by themselves are not helpful. You really need somebody else. Another car, another connection, another spark. It is the essential, practical side of love. Several years ago, I was sitting in the backyard with a friend. He has a small garden, and just behind the garden, I noticed this old, rusted out wheelbarrow. And there are few things more practical in this life than a wheelbarrow. It's not a luxury item. You can't put Bluetooth in it. It's basically a wheel that works as a fulcrum to take things from one place to another. It's hard to make a wheelbarrow sound transcendent. And this wheelbarrow had a blown out front tire and rusted out holes. It had been a long time since it was useful. And we sort of laughed about it. And he says, you know, I've tried to get rid of it like 100 times. And I just can't. And I said, why is that? He said, well, when my grandchildren were small and I was working in the garden, they'd hop into that wheelbarrow and I'd push them around the yard laughing and giggling as they urged me to go faster and faster. That there is a transcendent side to what is practical. And in it, we see the fullness of the love of God. That it is, as Denise Roy writes in her book, my minivan is my monastery. For 2 decades, I have broken bread, poured grape juice, preached, prayed, told stories, bestowed blessings, taken care of the sick, and heard confessions. I have been a parent. These have been the sacraments of my daily life, and I suspect of yours. That in all the sacraments of our families, our friendships, our interactions with strangers, our family of faith, our daily work, that they contain the fullness of the love of God as we see it fleshed out in the life of Jesus. There was a young, enthusiastic man from Britain who heard all about Mother Teresa's work, and he really wanted to go and work with her, to be a part of something so important, to be a part of something so transcendent. So one summer, he packed his bags, and he went to go and work with Mother Teresa in the Missionaries of Charity. And he spent his days throughout the summer listening to the hurting, caring for the sick, and tending to the dying. That he spent his days trying to find extra bandages and to locate basic resources and to find whatever was needed. And at the end of the summer, he felt let down. He felt like he had done nothing of real importance, anything that really mattered. And he went and he told Mother Teresa how he felt. And in her quiet, insightful way, she reminded him that he was part of something vitally important. That she simply smiled and said, you were there. that we might not feel like we have done enough or done anything important. But every single time that we show up with compassion, dedication, or kindness, and we turn it into something practical, we participate in the fullness of the love of God. Amen.